grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 3. I read for you again these words of our Lord. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. The words, a matter of life and death, can bring terror to the heart as the gravity of a situation reveals itself. Certainly, our military deals with this on a daily basis, as do our safety forces, those who serve in the police and fire departments, and especially in times of rescue. Doctors may describe the necessity of a certain procedure or medication as a matter of life and death. And while the expression may be used of less serious matters, most often it is used in a truly critical moment in someone's life. Today, our Lord truly speaks of a matter of life and death. For he speaks to us of his death and our life. He speaks of faith, saving faith, faith which trusts God's word and promise. And this is most certainly a matter of life and death. In the Old Testament reading, we heard of a matter of life and death which faced the Israelites. God had delivered them out of bondage in Egypt and had graciously provided for all their needs. But the people had grown tired of his gifts. They desired something other than what he had given them. They began to complain and grumble against God and against Moses, his servant. They longed for the good old days when they were slaves in Egypt. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. When this brought the people to realize their sin, they cried out for mercy. According to God's command, Moses erected a bronze serpent on a pole. And all who were bitten and looked at the serpent lived. God had provided salvation. It was available to all. No one was excluded from the promise. Yet, it was not the snake on the pole which saved them. Rather, it was God himself and his promise. Their salvation was the result only of God's grace and mercy. They'd done nothing to deserve it. In this matter of life and death, God gave them life. And yet, if anyone who was bitten was so foolish as to refuse to look upon that serpent, he died. And it was totally his own fault. And so it is with Christ. As he here speaks of his crucifixion, his being raised up on the cross, he declares that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Nothing could be more a matter of life and death than this. Now, we may not face the bites of fiery serpents, but we have been bitten by the ancient serpent, Satan. As a result, all mankind is dead in trespasses and sins. Not one person is excluded. We are all doomed to die, not only in this life, but most certainly in eternity. As a result of our sin, our living in the passions of our flesh, our carrying out the desires of body and the mind, our being by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, we deserve eternal death in the fires of hell. Nothing could be more a matter of life and death. And yet, God in His mercy saves us. While we were still dead in trespasses and sins, while we were yet His enemies and children of wrath, even before and without our call, for indeed, we can't call to God for salvation because we are dead, spiritually dead. We are in such a bad state of affairs that we don't even want to be saved. We want nothing to do with God. But that doesn't stop Him from saving us. And oh, how He saved us. He gave His only begotten Son to be raised up on the pole of the cross. And as we look at that pitiable sight by faith, we are saved from the snake bite of sin and death. For the one raised up is none other than the Son of God Himself. The one who hangs dying is true man, though holy and blameless, without any sin of his own. This God-man is God's gift to the world to save it from her sin. As He took the sin of the world upon Himself, Jesus became sin for us. He endured the full wrath of God over sin for us. In His death, He gives us life. And the life He gives is the life of the world. His crucifixion has cosmic results. For in Jesus being lifted up, the whole world has been forgiven. Not one person is excluded or left out. Not one sin is excluded, no matter how heinous or grievous it may be. There is no sin which falls outside of the forgiveness purchased and won by Jesus as He was lifted up, as He gave His life on the cross. God's grace is universal. It is for everyone. Salvation truly is a matter of life and death, Christ's death for our life. Yet, sadly, not everyone benefits from this wonderful gift from God. For there are many who refuse and reject it. Though they have been forgiven, they refuse God's gift, saying, in effect, "I don't want it. I don't need it. I'd rather do it myself." That is, if they even care about eternity at all. Yet, such a response of unbelief and unrepentance has terrible consequences. the first of which is condemnation. Jesus says, whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The second consequence of such unbelief is that having rejected the light of the world, he remains in darkness. For you see, in the things of God, there is only darkness or light. A person is either of the light, that is to say, he is of Christ, or he is of the darkness. There's no gray area. Whoever rejects Christ is condemned already, and he remains in the darkness of his sins. The third consequence is that the wrath of God remains on him. That is, the just vengeance of God remains on his shoulders. He is without hope and without God in the world. He truly does not have a prayer. A person who thus rejects God's gifts or wants to do it himself has no one to blame but himself when he is damned to hell for eternity. You see, salvation really is a matter of life and death, and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. That's why eternity, or salvation, is strictly a matter of God's grace in Christ Jesus. That's what today's epistle tells us. As I read it again, notice who is at work, and in fact, who's doing all the work. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Yes, my friends, salvation is all God's work. 100%. That we do look to Jesus, that we do believe in him, is also God's work and God's gift to us. We can't take any credit for it, and thus we need to be careful that we don't turn God's grace into our work. You see, it would be easy to put our confidence in our believing rather than in our Savior. It would be easy to turn our faith into a good work as though it is something that we do. But God makes it very clear that our salvation is entirely in his hands and is entirely his work and entirely his gift. He not only gave his only begotten Son, he also gives you the faith by which you believe, that is, that you trust in him for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. In your baptism, you see just how much a matter of life and death sin is. For you died in that holy water and were raised to a new life as saving faith was created in you. In Christ, you were brought from death to life, from darkness to light, from condemnation to salvation. In Christ's death, you have life now and forever. Repent and believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.